I appreciate the Lord tonight. Miss Kathy, honey, we're going to keep on praying for you. We won't stop now. There's many of us that need prayers tonight. Many sick, many afflicted. Martha had a prayer request for a death in her family. Just a whole lot going on. But I'm glad we've got a God that cares. And we've got a Savior that knows. Nothing's taken Him by surprise. He knows. Our very needs, He knows. If you got your Bible, just turn around, pick it up. We should now be in Luke chapter number 5. Preach tonight just on a few things about what you might find when you get to the very feet of Jesus. Like I said, I don't like the bad seat in the house. It seemed like the... Do y'all remember? I know most of us do because y'all are my age or above. When you would go to restaurants, and some of you smoke, some of you don't smoke, but I don't smoke. And they would always ask, smoking or non-smoking, and I'd always say non-smoking. It seemed to me that they would get me just as close to the smoking as they could put me, but still be in the non-smoking. And I specifically remember one time we were at a pizza place over in Jonesville called the Pizza Inn, or Pizza Den maybe. And this lady, and I don't know about y'all that smoke, if you want to smoke, let God deal with that. It's between you and God. It ain't between me and you and God. I know what the Bible says about your body being a temple and all that. And I've heard preachers just preach a whole message, and we start getting into legalism and all that. I just leave that stuff to God. Let God deal with it. But I do remember, Brother Tim, it starts concerning me whenever they sat me here in the non-smoking and people over here right beside us come in and fired one up. But what startled me was the fact that they had an oxygen tank. And the oxygen hose went up under their clothes and come around and over the ear and up the nose. And they're over smoking. And I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, but that stuff will, it'll blow your face off. And we're sitting right beside, I'm like, man, I told Cindy, I said, we might ought to move. But it seemed like sometimes we always get the worst seats. I don't understand that. John, like I said, you can go to a theater. I don't care if you're going to see Winnie the Pooh or what you're going. Hey, that thing could be a 500-seat IMAX, but somebody's going to be in front of you. Try to put my feet up there or something, you know. There's a difference in where you're positioned. I promise you, there's a difference in where you're seated. There's a difference in where you go, and you'll see that in this scripture tonight. But there's some definite things that you can find when you get at His feet. We'll start the reading in chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Let me get my spectacles on. I seem to do just a little bit better at reading. My lack of reading ability is no reflection on Miss Martha, because I never had her as a teacher. I've had her as a cook and many other things, but never had her as a teacher. So my lack of knowledge is not an indication on you or the school system, Martha. It's probably my idiocy and whenever they'd not account for me. I never was good in science. I'm sorry. But I remember one time we were told, if you miss that bus again, boy, you've had it. When I got to the end of the driveway, the bus was leaving, John. That was a long day in them woods. When that bus come out evening, I come out there and come down the driveway just like I'd always been at school. Lord help us. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. I bet that's the first time in Simon Peter's career as a fisherman that the platform of his boat ever become a pulpit. I can't imagine. I'm sitting here fishing all night, and all of a sudden this man walks on the deck of my ship and starts preaching. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But that's what He said He did. And when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so they began to sink. You say, well, where? I thought she's going to be at the feet of Jesus. Read the next verse. The Bible said when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Preacher Kenny, would you ask God to bless our scripture reading? One of us that's ever walked in the presence of God that we first needed before we get to anything else that I'll preach tonight was found in this verse. The eighth verse of this passage of scripture is where the first time that we will see Simon Peter at the very feet of Jesus. The Bible said that when Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? He saw the nets about to break. He saw the great fish. And you say, well, why did he fall on his feet? Why did he fall on his knees at the very knees and the very feet of Jesus Christ? It's because Peter is so much like we are in that, Brother Preston, he has said, we've fished all night long and we caught nothing. Somebody will go to a Baptist church on this very night and say, but preacher, I've gone all my life. Or they'll say, but mama, I've gone my whole life. I'm 15 years old. I'm 16 years old. I've gone all my life and it hasn't changed me yet. But bless God, on this day, it was different. That eighth verse tonight tells me that you will find at the very feet of Jesus a deep moving conviction. And bless God, if that conviction is not yours, I pray that it will be before the night ends. It might be, Brother Tim, that you was raised in church. As Brother John said, he was brought up in church, and then you did the religious things. You went the religious way, and you did those things, Brother Derek, that everybody kind of looked for you to do. You followed some of your buddies down to an altar. They said they got saved. You said you got saved. They went to the water. You went to the water. And then you lived your life till you was 20, mid-20s, before you ever really did get to the good place, which was at the feet of Jesus. So tonight I want to say the very first thing that you should find when you get there, Brother Robbie, is a deep moving conviction. A conviction to be saved by God's grace. A conviction to leave the bondage of sin behind you. A conviction not just to turn over a new leaf, Brother John, but to find a new birth. I bless God, too many people finding a conviction to do better. And doing better is not a bad thing. I'm highly in favor of doing better. I believe a man ought to better himself. But bless God, if you ain't born again, you're nothing more than a pig going down to the soupy soap car wash and trying to get cleaned off. Because as soon as you get back to doing what you were going to do and nobody else is looking, you're going to go right back into the mire. And I've got Bible to back that up. A dog will go back to his vomit. The dog will go back to his mire. And I don't care how you try to do good. If that deep moving conviction does not break your bonds of sin and deliver you from the shackles that do hold you, bless God, you'll go right back to whatever it was that you were doing. How about Simon Peter? What did Jesus tell him? He said, Simon Peter, henceforth from this day, he said, you're going to catch men. What was he saying? He didn't say, Peter, I didn't tell you never go fishing again. He did not say that. He said, but I'm going to put a touch on your life. Peter said, Lord, forgive me. Look what he says in verse number 8. He calls himself some names, and we do good to see ourselves in the light that Peter did. He said that when he was astonished at, in verse number 8, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me. What did he say? He said, I'm a sinful man. And bless God, Brother Tim, that's what you did. When you crawled up here to an altar, you said, Lord, I'm a sinful man and I need deliverance from that holds me. Lord, I need to be saved. So the first thing you'll find when you get there, Brother Preston, is you're going to find some conviction. And if you've not been convicted, Brother Kenny Anderson, you're not converted. Amen. Brother Robbie, you've never been convicted, you're not converted. Miss Lawrence, you've never been convicted, you're not converted. That's not just good for the preacher. That's good for the Pope and anybody else that's still yet lost and undone without God. You want to find some conviction down there at the feet of Jesus. Yes. Brother, when you get that low, you'll see him that high. When you see him that high in his right place, highly exalted and lifted up, what did he say he would do? He said, I will draw all men unto me. And he did that to these disciples. He did it to you. He did it to me. Amen. There's something about getting at the feet of Jesus. It's different than anything else you'll ever do. Brother Derek, it's different than preaching. I love preaching, Brother John. Can you tell that? I love to preach. Yeah. God give me a platform to do it three times a week. I love to preach. Yeah. Brother, it does not replace my time at the feet. It doesn't. I like to eat. I like to. We come down here last night, and I don't know who fixed the lasagna, but Brother Tim, was that not just wonderful? And Miss Martha and the other Miss Martha, everybody that cooked, it was fabulous. And I love to eat, but it doesn't replace my time at his feet. You say, well, that was great fellowship. It was, but it doesn't replace my time at his feet. And I love to fellowship. I love being around y'all. Brother John, I love to eat. I love to preach. I love to fellowship. I love being around people of like mind. And Tim, I love to hear blessings from God for you. But wouldn't I want one for myself once in a while? I like being at his feet. Do you like that? I'm telling you, there's something about getting in that good place, that sweet place. There's nothing like that. You say, I like to curl up with a good book on a cold day in front of a fireplace. I do too. But that don't replace my time at his feet. There's so many instruments and so many things that can take place when you're at his feet, Brother Derek. It's like I said, it's like the very nostril of God comes out on you. I've called Tam, and Tam's called me, and you've called me just a squalling. And every one of you at some time or another probably called me a bawling or a squalling or something. And I'm just wondering, what in the world? Stuck his finger in something. He's got a hold of him. He's got power running through his veins. Amen. You tear up a cow pasture, would you? It's something about getting in his presence, brother. Some of you tonight's probably saying, I ain't never been there. Lord, it'd do you good. You won't just find conviction, but we're going to kind of walk through that fifth chapter. Right below where I stopped reading in verse number 12, look what it said. It said, it came to pass when a certain man, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. Where was he at? He fell on his face. Where was he at? He fell on his face. Besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him and charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest. Why? Because at that time, he's still keeping the law. Jesus said, you got to go to the Levite. You got to go to the priest and show yourself. That's the only way you're going to get a clean declaration of health. But it said, and offer for thy cleansing, according to Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went and there a fame abroad of him, and great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He said, why'd you just read that part? What was leprosy? An uncurable skin disease. Death. Isolation. Exile. Brother Kenny, that puts you in a camp, a colony, a leper colony. So what did I say to start with? Conviction. What followed your deep conviction, Brother Tamcheek? It was what this man got. He got cleansing. That's what happened. Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And right beyond that, we move from that deep moving conviction. It's not enough for you just to be convicted. Did you hear what I said? It's not enough. There's a lot of people convicted, Brother Paul. There's a lot of people that leave church convicted. Now, some of your own people, Brother Steve, said, I can't come over there anymore. I can go to other churches. And I leave there walking with a quickness in my step. But when I come to Calvary, it seems like I leave feeling bad. And I leave feeling like I'm under conviction. Bless God, don't leave under conviction. Leave cleansed, because you can get up here at the feet of Jesus and get what that leper got. He too fell at the very feet of Jesus. Even as Peter fell under conviction, this leper comes to him and falls. And what he get? He got a cleansing. Bless God, you can get cleansed. You don't have to leave dirty. You don't have to leave under conviction. You don't have to leave the same way you come in. You can get that stuff fixed. And I wish that you would get it fixed. Then you could come in and enjoy the service. Some of y'all enjoy the service. If you enjoy the service, say amen. Amen. How many of you now, don't you say a word? How many of you just basically endure the service? There's people that have to endure it, Brother Derek, because they can't say amen. They're here because somebody brought them, because it was expected of them. And brother, they don't look to get anything. They get nothing because they come in here with an attitude. I'm not going to do anything, hear anything, see anything. Well, guess what they get when they get here? They get nothing. Blessed is that man which expecteth nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. He comes in looking for nothing. He will never be disappointed, because that's exactly what he's going to get. Nothing. You take somebody that comes looking. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about hunger pains. You ever been so hungry, man, your stomach was eating your backbone? Now I'm talking about, it's about to consume you. It's been a while, ain't it, Brother Tim? We don't get that hungry. But how about spiritually speaking? Brother, maybe you had some sickness. Maybe you just couldn't get there every service. And maybe, I'm talking, Brother Tim, you just started getting a little hungry. Next thing you know, you were desirous, not just hungry, Brother John. You need something from God. And when you come in here, man, that's a good place to be. Because it don't matter if I mess up, and I will. It doesn't matter if I put Moses in the ark and Noah. It doesn't matter what I do, Brother Tim. God's going to bless that service because you're coming in there hungry. And you can look past those little mistakes and those little things, little isms that I do. I used to do a thing. Cindy said I used to do something where I pulled my pants up all the time. I don't remember doing that. She said, you do it. She said, you're always doing something with your pants. She said, I don't know if they're too big or what. Tim, I don't care anymore. If they fall down around my ankles, I'm going to keep on preaching. True story. I do try to check my zipper because Tam himself said one time this thing was hanging down. And Tam said, your thing's hanging down. I'm like, oh, goodness, it's fixed up. I said, Lord, help us. Brother Tam, we ought to come in here and get that deep-rooted conviction of Almighty God that then we might be cleansed by Him and we can get cleansed. But we're going to have to get close enough for the cleansing. It's hard for me to wash you. And Brother Tam, do you care if I show you what this? You are crazy as a bug. And I'm glad that God put me over here in this corner. Stand up and show this crowd what's going on with your feet. Put one of them in the air. This man's sitting up here barefooted, and maybe he's on holy ground, but you know what? God's using that right now. It would be hard for me to enter into an old-fashioned foot washing if you're back there and I'm up here. But as Mary did when she did anoint him and wash her with her own hair and her own tears, the Savior's feet, she cannot do that from afar. She has to get up real close. And I'm not above washing your feet, brother. I've been in a many of them, ain't with Brother Kim. You say, I ain't washing nobody's feet. Go ahead. You're missing a blessing by not doing it. I like them. I've been in a many of them. Remember old Ralph Harold? Washed his and he's gone. Birch Handy. These people, they're gone home. You don't soon forget that stuff. You say, I ain't washing anybody's stinking feet. Savior says, you ought to do it. Simon Peter again. Us wash me all over. Nah, you don't need it all over. It's just your feet that's dirty, Peter. Keep reading. We're still in Luke chapter number 5. Not only do you get a deep moving conviction, and it's a good place for a cleansing. We keep reading on down through there. Verse number 16 said he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day that he was teaching that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed... a man which was taken with palsy, and when they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let down through the root, through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. The other reading in Mark reads a whole lot different than this, and it just kind of messes with my mind. But anyway, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So what are you saying? Look at verse number 20 and look where the man came. The Bible said, when they could not find by what way they would bring him in, the Bible said, because of the multitude, they let him down through the tiling, which was with his couch, right into the midst before Jesus. I believe, Brother Tam, they let him right down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's that man at? Is he standing up? No, he's laid out in a bedroll. Where was he at? He's as low as he can get. They let that bed roll down, each one letting the rope down, Brother Derek, about the same pace. And they let that man right down, and the Bible said, right in the very midst of Jesus. And what happened after that? The Lord looked at him, and he didn't say, get up and walk. What did he say? He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Bless God. He got a conversion. It was instantaneous. It was right then and there. And they reasoned in their hearts, saying, what's this man doing? This man's sick. And this man's saying, blasphemy, saying, get up and walk, saying, thy sins be forgiven thee, instead of get up and walk. The other scripture said, which one is going to be coming first? Brother Tim, it's namely this. You're not going to walk for Jesus until your sins are first forgiven you. You don't do it that way. That would be backward to say, get up and walk and then say your sins are forgiven. You know, if you're going to walk for the Lord, you're going to do it in that order. Your sins will be forgiven and then you'll start walking for the Lord. So not only was there a great conviction and a great cleansing, we're still right here in chapter number 5. There was a great conversion. This man said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, but there's always some sitting around reasoning in her heart saying, what in the world's going on now? Look what Jesus said. What reason ye in your hearts? Jesus perceived their thoughts and the answer said, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or rise, take up and walk. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that which lay whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Go over to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew 17, just for a minute. Matthew 17. We're going to close on this one too. It won't be long. This is where we all need to, after we've been cleansed, after we've been convicted and been cleansed and we've been converted, we're saved now, Brother Derek. We need to learn this last thing that I'm about ready to talk to us about. I told you we'd get there, and Brother Justin had the youth choir sing that for me. In Matthew chapter number 17, we'll pick up the reading about verse number 14. That's not where I'm wanting to go. I'm in the wrong place. Somebody find me the place where Mary and Martha's at. I thought I had it pinned up, but I pinned my Bible in the wrong place. We'll take it out of another gospel. Go over to Luke. Go over to Luke chapter number 10. We'll get it over here. It's in a couple different gospels, but we'll get it out of Luke chapter number 10. You found your place in Luke chapter number 10. Say amen. Amen. Verse number 38. And it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Bible then says that Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. Look at verse number 39. She had a sister called Mary. Where was Mary? The Bible said that she was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Like I said, once we move past that conviction, Brother John, you act upon it. And brother, if you're not drawn, you ain't coming. That's the Bible. 6:44, John tells us that, Brother Kenny. After you've had that deep moving, that conviction of your heart that just gripped you and ripped you and tore you, and it brought you to your place of cleansing, and you got converted and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're clean every whit now, Brother John. Amen. We need to get right here. I find myself too often. I'm putting myself right in the middle of this wagon. I find myself too often taking up the position of Martha. I'm running, I'm here, I'm there, Brother John, I'm going, I'm like sometimes a hummingbird in a hurricane. You know, I'm just everywhere. I'm here and there and going crazy, Brother Tam. But once in a while, it would do me good to just forget about my Martha ways. I think Miss Cindy and Mary and I don't know, many of y'all have read a book called, what was that? How to Live Martha? How to Be Mary. Y'all heard that book? How to Be Mary in a Martha World. I don't know who wrote it, but y'all are shaking your heads, so you know what I'm talking about. We live in a Martha world where it's all about much serving. It's all about Brother John just keeping this fire put out and battling that blaze next and doing this and doing that. My friends, we would do good to find not conviction. Well, you need to find conviction. But once we found conviction, we've got our cleansing, conversion, everything, we would find our place in a place of perfect contentment. And we're not there. I don't find myself there. I find myself looking and going and doing. And man, we would do good to get in that place. Can you imagine now a picture of Mary and Martha? The Lord's coming. Brother, I can almost see Martha dusting and, I mean, sweeping the floor. She's got bread in the oven. Brother, she just called for somebody to bring in some fresh milk. She just got everything going on. And there sits Mary, just sitting there, listening. Says she come to hear his word. She's just listening. She's not only listening, Brother Steve, she's learning. Not only is she listening and learning, but there's something else she's doing, Brother Derek, and you can see it in the scriptures. Read all these synoptic gospels and read her story. She's loving. She's just sitting there loving on Jesus. Brother John, it's a good place to be, to sit there and listen. Brother Kenny, that's a good place to be, right there under the very spout where the glory comes out. Just sitting there, Brother John, listening.
Yes, sir.
That's what the Bible says. She's sitting there in that verse of scripture. It said that in verse number 39, that she had a sister which is called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And what did she do? She heard his word. Brother Tim, she's just sitting there listening, soaking it up. I don't know what story he might have been telling her. I won't even go there because it's not recorded in the scripture. But I won't tell you what. It was the voice of God. It was the voice of reason. It was the voice of uprightness and morality. It was the voice of right, Brother Derek. It was holy. It's God. And she's right there at the very feet listening. I'm telling you what, my friends. It would do us so, so good to get right there. I mean, Brother Tim, get so close that contentment settled in on us like never been before. And Brother John, we don't want to leave there. Miss Kathy, honey, I saw you praying. You might have even heard me. I don't know, but I said let her pray till morning's daybreak, if that so be what it takes. We'd do good to stay in our place just a little bit longer. I find myself, Brother Tim, going like Martha. I'm cumbered about with much. Martha back here, you just told me about a family member that passed away, right? You told me about that. When did you tell me? And I'm not criticizing you or nothing. You told me right before I got in the pulpit. Others will tell me stuff. Justin can come in and say, Fluffy, run away. You could come in and tell me that this happened or that happened. I would do good. And I've got preacher friends of mine, Brother Tam. They don't come into the congregation until it's right at the service time. You know why they do that, Brother John? They're trying their best to be so focused on the Word of God that they don't want anything to distract or take away. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of you, Miss Martha, honey, I'm sorry to tell you, I've already forgot that name. Dorothy Moore. She said that Dorothy Moore family. Dorothy passed away this afternoon. But Brother John, I'm already in the zone. Not Arizona. I'm in the zone. I'm getting ready to preach. And I'm already there. But brother, if I stayed in that Martha mentality and I stayed in that Martha mindset, if I stayed where Martha seems to live and reside, I'm not going to be much use to you, Chad. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got to get into the sweet spot. I've got to get into that good place. I've got to stay there for a little while, Brother Kenny. I know sometimes I'll tell Miss Cindy, honey, I've got to go downstairs. I'm going to go down there and study. And when I get down there, brother, sometimes I'm down there 5 minutes. Boy, I was quick. And then sometimes I'm down there to hours and hours. But I find myself staying in Martha's place way too more than I do Mary's place. If you've never got there, you need to get there. I want to just share with you just a little bit more. Go back. I know why I was going over there now. I told you to flip over there, and when I started to read that scripture, and where was it? Matthew 17. I wanted you to see this because this man, I knew why now it just come back to me. Matthew chapter number 17. And it was in verse number 14, Matthew 17 and 14. The Bible said, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. I go back to the verse up there where it said that this man came kneeling to him. And then verse number 15, when it said, Lord, have mercy on my son. You said, what are you bringing that up for? When you get convicted and you get cleansed and the conversion takes place and you get into that perfect place of the merry world into contentment, you're going to have compassion on somebody else. That man, he didn't say, Lord, help me. No, he comes to him and said, Lord, I've got a son. When's the last time you raised Preston up before the Lord and said, Lord, I've got an 18-year-old son. When's the last time you just took Alexia right into the throne room and said, God, I've got a young daughter. Lord, no doubt she wants the things that I've had in life, love, happiness, marriage. When's the last time you carried her right into the throne room and said, Lord, I've got a need. When do you take Nicole there? I hope you take her often. I hope you take her every time you can think of the name Nicole. I think you should take her right into the very throne room of God and just lay her before the Lord and say, Lord, don't know what she might need today. I just wanted to bring Nicole into your throne room today. I can do the same for Macy. Lord, she's never been a married woman, but next month she's going to be. Lord, I just bring her into the throne room. I've been doing that a lot here lately. Somebody asked me the other day, said, is your spigot turned on yet? One of y'all in here said, is your spigot on yet? I said, is my spigot on yet? Tim, yours is leaking. I said, what are you talking about? They asked me if I was crying. I said, no, I'm not going to cry with this one. Did enough of that with the last one. I don't know what's going to happen on October the 20th. But I tell you what I've been doing since. They've had a 1-year engagement. I've been carrying both of them into the throne room. I've been getting at the feet of Jesus just like this man did. And I said, my son-in-law's a lunatic. No, that's what the scripture, is that scripture? Am I off base, Brother John? Did I miss something? Look right here. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. He saw, well, I was a son-in-law. He's a lunatic. In all seriousness, Jake, I've took you to the throne room more times than you care to know. I know Miss Cindy has. Tam, if I wasn't a saved man, if I go back to everything I preached tonight, if I'd never been under conviction, been cleansed, been converted, everything I just preached about, do you think I would give a patootie? You want to get married, get married. If it don't work out, get you another one. Have the thing annulled. Divorce rate's above 50% anyway. You'll just become a statistic like the rest of them. Hope it don't cost you too much getting out of it. I would never offer that kind of advice now because I've been to the good place. And since I've been there, I see things through a little bit different vision now, a little different vantage point. As we stand all over the house, Miss Macy comes over to the piano. Brother Scott comes.